Our scripture reading this morning is from Colossians 3. If you're turning there, you can race me and see if you beat me to the passage. Got it. The scripture passage is Colossians 3, 18 to chapter 4, verse 1. And as you read the Bible, they do a little helpful thing for us with headings and little gaps. But of course, when the Apostle Paul wrote this, it was just all one letter, no chapters, no verses, no headings, no little gaps here. And it is true that verse 18 is a new thought. It is a new paragraph, but it's all in line and in context of what goes before it. And so I'm going to start with verse 17 and then read into verse 18 and following. The word of the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, everything, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. The word of the Lord. So I am glad that my family is with me today, but if they had said they couldn't come, that would have been fine, given this message. You know, I feel like this morning I had to be perfect, you know, around the house. Yes, dear, okay, children, yes, anything, you know. Should this passage be preached on? Yes. Should it be preached on by a guest minister? Not ideal, but I'll be a good sport and you will be gracious with me. Yes, hopefully. But it is in God's word, and we do need to consider this. I'd like to say this at the outset, that if on any point that maybe you disagree with something that I said, please remember the most important thing in this passage. It is, how is God calling me to submit to him as a faithful disciple of Jesus? And yes, this passage identifies certain groups of people very clearly, but regardless of your life situation, whether you're single or whether you're married, kids at home, kids not at home, whatever that might be, through this message, I hope that you're considering and feel impressed by God's word to answer the question, how is God calling me to submit to him first and foremost? Now, as I mentioned earlier, it is important to think about the context of Colossians here. It begins with, as we heard in the offering song, sweet grace, the redemption of Jesus Christ and God's gift. And so now in Colossians, the question has been, now that we know what God has done for us, how are we to respond to this gift of grace? And this is what Colossians 3 is about. And we think about the world in which we live, the world and the word. Those are two different questions are being asked. Okay, the world asks the question, what can I get? A disciple of Jesus, what can I give? The world asks, what do I deserve? The disciple of Jesus, how do I serve? And this is all in response to God's grace for us. So the theme of this message, I'd like to wrap it this way. The theme is submit to God by being Christ-like in your relationships. Submit to God by being Christ-like in your relationships. The points of the message are simply what the text says. We're just going to walk through. Wives, husbands, children, slaves and masters, and I'll talk about employers, employees at that point as well. So first we begin with wives, what I've been looking forward to. I did consider at one point that all the guys should just leave. This would be good. I can handle the ladies. They're very nice. But I'll just say, husbands, either plug your ears, or obviously you're not going to plug your ears. But the point here is the thing you need to listen to the most is what's directed to you. So it's very easy for a guy to hear what's directed to the ladies. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you're missing it if this is your attitude. All right. So, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Interestingly, I didn't know this, but in ancient times, the Greeks and the Jews had similar rules for the household. There's ancient writings about instructions given for the good running of a house. All right? Now, they are parallel to what Paul wrote, but not the same. So, for instance, in ancient times, the rules focused on how the husbands should rule their wives and their children. You want a smooth household? Here's how you keep that lady in check, okay? And you do it with an iron fist if need be, all right? Now, what does the Apostle Paul do? He begins right at the outset by saying wives. And think about it. Just by doing this, he is raising the value of women. He said, I want to talk directly to them. I'm not talking to the men about how to rule. I want to talk to the wives. Raising the value of women. And we see elsewhere in the New Testament that in light of ancient society, the gospel of Jesus Christ raises the value to what God's intended created order is, that we are male and female equally created in God's image. We have equal value and significance before Almighty God. Very important point to recognize, equal value. Now, before I talk more about this, some qualifications need to be made. The reason for these qualifications is because in history past, and even in our day and age, there are many cultures that within the culture, they have repressed women. And this is a bad thing. This is not a biblical thing. And when a person preaches on a text like this, to be honest, all sorts of questions come to mind. Like, well, what about this? You know, what about this situation, this situation? And to be honest with you, the purpose of this message is not to answer every single situation. I can't. The purpose here is just to give a broad teaching, understanding of the biblical teaching here. Okay? Right here, right now, we have different marriages. We have different personalities within the marriages. We have actually really good marriages and really bad marriages. And we have marriages all in between. And pastorally, each of these different marriages might need to be addressed in a slightly different way, which is not the role of this message. And it's important to offer those qualifications. I'll say one thing briefly. One awful, awful thing is women that are abused in relationships. Whether it is a dating relationship, in marriage, that is bad. And in no way is the Bible saying you just have to put up with abuse. That's not the point of this passage. You need to remove yourself from abuse. Now, that's just one little important issue, but there's all sorts of issues that spring out as we think about this text. So anyway, I just wanted to offer that as a qualification before we move on. All right, wives, submit. What does submit mean? Submit simply means yielding to the will or authority of another person. Yielding to the will or authority of another person. I don't know if you're familiar with the Message paraphrase of the Bible. I kind of like how Eugene Peterson phrased it in the Message. Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the master. A wife should not be tempted to rule a husband's wife. I know we need help sometimes, okay? But not be tempted to rule the husband's wife. And the idea is that in certain situations, there would be a calling to yield rights in certain situations. Now, of course, this submission, and I'll get to this more in a moment, is in context of a loving husband. It is not in context of a ruling or a selfish husband. It's in context of a marriage where both husband and wife seek to honor Jesus Christ first and then be faithful to their spouse. Now, also interestingly, as you look at this passage, it says, wives submit. In a few verses, it says, children obey. The Apostle Paul uses a stronger word. Sorry, kids, it's there, okay? A stronger word referring to children and obey. And also, with the kids, it's obey in everything, okay? For the wives, it is a word and means something, submit, but it's not as strong as obey. And so the idea, okay, as a disciple of Jesus in a discipleship marriage is voluntary submission. This is very important. And here's why. Does the Bible address the husband to say, make your wife submit? No, the Bible does not say that. Okay, this is, in light of serving Jesus Christ, a voluntary, in certain situations, of yielding one's rights. Now, how does this work out? How does this work out in my family? Oh, this, now it gets interesting. So just a little thing. It just so happened that yesterday my wife and I went to a store to buy a front door. All right? So here is the salesman and us discussing something that you want to make sure this looks good. It's at the front of your house, right? Well, we walked in. She wanted wood. I wanted fiberglass. Okay? She wanted the look. I wanted the energy efficiency. All right? And all I can say is I'm thankful for in America they make fiberglass doors that look like wood. Okay, so that was easy. From across the showroom, there was a door that looked like wood. It was fiberglass. We both went, that's it. This is good, okay? So we go over there. The door had a little glass feature, and you can choose, okay? I wanted this one, she wanted this one. And so what are we going to do, you know? So we discussed this, and I won. This is my glass. Then the hardware for the door, okay? To be honest, I like this one, she liked this one, she won, okay? Now, this is good, okay? This is, you know, discussing these things, and so honestly, in my marriage, we discuss. Now, this is a little issue, okay? I mean, talk about kids, much bigger issues. But still, we want to come together as a couple and discuss things, make decisions together. This is good. I imagine that if there is some big decision that comes up, and we discuss, we pray, we discuss, and a decision needs to be made, you know, at that point, I guess I will make the call. Okay, but this is in context of selfless love towards my wife and my family. I also think, I think it's important that I make sure that my family prays together. I don't have to pray all the time, but I just want to make sure that this happens, that we read God's word, that I'm encouraging my family on their own to read God's word, to go to church together. This is important. Things don't always happen this way, but I just remember years ago when I was in Colorado at a church, there was a family and they had problems, okay? Anyway, they were in church, there was the family. Then the dad stopped attending and the son was of such an age that he was maybe high school. When the dad stopped attending, he stopped. I just saw the mom and the younger son. And then all of a sudden the dad came back, and as soon as the dad came back, that son, he was right back. There is something there with the dad and leadership and looking up to this that has an effect. So anyway, wives, submit to your husbands, and we need to work together as couples. And yet I do not want to ignore this text. It is there. And I guess at the end of the day, not men, but women, wives, to pray, how is God calling me to show honor to respect, and to follow my husband's lead in areas. So that is the wives. Second, husbands, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Okay, women, plug your ears. Okay. Once again, ancient society was concerned about how men ruled the household and ruled their women. And even a measure of harshness would be tolerated. Maybe not in all the rules, but there are some rules of Greek rules of household, Aristotle, Stoic philosophers, where, yes, if need be, a little harshness would be in order. And then God's word says love. And what is love? Love is not the world definition of love. I guess the best way is to look to Jesus. Jesus had a heart overflowing for those that he died for. The love of God is so deep and so strong and so soft all at the same time. And this is love. And this is the challenge to treasure and to love your wife. I should add, if you're a guy and you're not married, you're younger, listen to this. This, I think, is part of leadership in the family, is that strong and gentle love that takes its cue from Jesus and not the world. Don't be harsh. Boy, sometimes anger can flare, irritability, lack of patience, just simply unloving. And this can deeply damage the heart of a woman. Love your wives. Application here is that God calls the husband to love. Whether she submits in one area or another or not, the issue is not that. It is unconditional love, period. Regardless of how the wife acts. That's what true love is. It means to listen, like eyes looking at each other, listening to her and empathizing with her. Of course, I do this perfectly. Right, honey? Just smile and say yes. Good. Okay. I've grown in this. I do much better. Sometimes I'm a guy, you know. So I need to grow in this and just need to listen and empathize. Really, you know, maybe I'm not going to completely connect with her feelings, but make an effort to connect with that, to what she is sharing, to support her in whatever she is sharing about. And as you listen and empathize, this is showing love in a very practical way. One other thing I just need to mention to the guys in terms of love. I believe it must be mentioned because of the culture in which we live. You love your wife by being pure, morally pure. And we live in a world where we are bombarded, or moral impurity is just a click away, we are bombarded with sensuality and moral impurity. This is not a private thing. It may seem like that, but it's not. It's all connected. And God is calling for all of us, of course, to be morally pure, but in this point, for guys, boys, and men to be morally pure. And in marriage, you love your wife by being morally pure in what you look at, how you think, what you say, how you act. Husbands, love your wives. All right, now children, I'm now going to pause to make sure I have the eyes. Let's see, of all of the kids. Really, today was not a day to dismiss the kids, but oh well. What? Yeah, I have some good stuff to say. You'll have to pass it on. All right, over here. Yes? Yes? Okay. Now, we're going to do a little raise your hands thing. It's fun. Come on. Okay? All right. Raise your hand, if you have ever disagreed with your parents. Oh, bold. This is good. Okay, good. Now, hands down. Now, raise your hand if you ever said one of these two phrases. Okay? That's not fair, or that doesn't make sense. Yes? Ah, amen in the congregation. Very good. Very good. In ancient times, well, children had to obey. And even in some contexts, not all contexts in ancient times, but some, even a bit of harshness would be tolerated to force obedience. Okay? Here it says, children, obey your parents in everything. Okay, I'm a parent. I got to smile with that one, okay? Yeah. Okay. Do you know what the word obedience kind of... I should stop laughing. Okay. Do you know what the word obedience means here? It means a readiness to hear and carry out orders. Yes, sir. Okay? Readiness. You hear it, you are ready. I will do it. And you go and obey. Okay? Sorry, this rules out whining and complaining. Rules it out. Okay? If you're truly going to, I'm just saying, if you're going to truly follow it. Now, we're all on a journey. We all have growth edges in our life. Okay? But it just is, obey your parents. Now, parents obviously are not perfect. However, parents have really, they spend their lives serving you. You may not get it or see it, but really they do. And it's the parents, okay, that want your well-being and your success. I mean, more than anything, that's what they want for your life, your well-being and your success. And A little secret about parents. Parents, forgive me for spilling this one. But it just kind of happens. Parents are much better at looking at the big picture. I mean, it's just the way it is. And I'm not faulting youth. It's just the way it is. Youth more are like this, okay? And parents are just a little better at stepping back and seeing the big picture. And this is one of the reasons why there are different opinions within the household. I like to say this, kids and youth. God uses obedience to your parents to train you to obey God. It is all an idea of submission. And one of the ways God is training you as a disciple of Jesus to follow the Lord, it begins in the home with you obeying your parents. Whether you agree or disagree, that's where it starts. And I will even say this, God will use your obedience to your parents. If you do this, you are becoming stronger to be used by God for kingdom work in the future, whatever that might be. That's training ground. Your obedience to parents is training ground for how God wants to use you in the future. Now, the Bible simply says this, obey, not because you agree with it, you like it, they deserve it. What does the Bible say? It pleases the Lord. At the end of the day, that's why. I want to please Jesus. And so I will obey. And they're the authority over me. There is also in this text, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. This word fathers can apply to mothers as well. But in context here, it seems like it's directed a little more to fathers, but could also apply to mothers. I take this as children need to know that their parents love them and are committed to them, that they discipline with self-control, not discipline out of control, and that children aren't just in the way, but they love them, and they spend time with them, and they're concerned about them, not do whatever I want and who cares about you, getting that kind of feeling to the kids. So do not provoke your children. Another kind of message to fathers, but kind of also to all parents as well. And then lastly, this passage from verse 22 to chapter 4, verse 1, slaves, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord. And then the next several verses, basically, it is that theme restated. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord. Interestingly, in ancient cities, up to half of the population during the business day on a city street like Rome, Corinth, Philippi, Colossae, up to half could be slaves. And these slaves were owned by their masters. That's why it probably comes in here with household, okay, because they were owned by their masters. It's not like American slavery, not race. It was more of you owed a debt, army went to war, conquered people, and the conquered people were enslaved. Some of the slaves could be very well educated. Some of the slaves even worked part-time and earned enough money to purchase their freedom. So operated a little differently. However, what is this passage not? Very important. This passage is not concerned with the ethics of the institution of slavery. That's not what it's concerned about. The church is young. The church is trying to survive. And the passage is simply this. Here is the letter being read to the church at Colossae. And in the church, there were people that were slaves. And so the point is, next week, as you go to work, okay, here's how to be a faithful disciple of Jesus and a witness for Jesus Christ next week. This is what you should do. Work heartily as for the Lord. Some have made the point that even in this passage, the seeds to the end of slavery were planted. Because, first of all, it treated slaves with respect. They're equal members in the church. And also, chapter 4, verse 1, masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly. I mean, that was radical. In that culture of the time, hey, I own you. I do whatever I want. And no. These people are created in God's image. They're valuable. And so a case could be made that slavery slowly died out in the Roman Empire because of the influence of Christianity and the influence of passages like this and Philemon and other places in the New Testament. Now, there is the broader application of employers and employees. The principle in this passage is to think about authority structures in your life and how do you faithfully live within those authority structures. Commentators like to jump to employers, employees. I like to jump to teacher and student. Okay? And I tell my students, it honors God when you do your best, when you work hard. And your hard work is not just to be, oh, this stinks, but I have to do it. It's to the glory of God that you get an education and you do your best. You follow your teacher's lead. But also employers and employees. Tomorrow, some of you are going to go to work and people are watching you at work. They're not going to say it, but they're watching you. And how you speak and how you act is speaking volumes to your fellow employees and to the boss. Last summer, I was at our church for VBS. We have an evening sports camp. And I saw a dad standing there. He wasn't a part of our church, but he was apparently dropped his kids off and was just watching. Okay, so I went up to him, I introduced myself, we started talking, and in the conversation, he mentioned that he was a convert to the gospel, to the message of Jesus. And I asked him a little more, and he said this: at one point in my life, I was the manager of a restaurant in Wheaton, Illinois. I had some employees that were just, you know, young adults, okay, whatever. And I had some employees that were Wheaton College students, Christian college in the area. And he said the difference between those two groups of employees was obvious and strong. I could see in those Christian employees, their witness was there by the way they worked and respected me. And do you know what? This guy was not a Christian then. But at some point later, he committed his life to Jesus, and one of the seeds that was planted was in that workplace because they were living out the principle of Colossians chapter 3. If you read this whole passage later, it's interesting. It keeps repeating the phrase, in the Lord. In the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. So I want to say to all of you, in this next week, whatever your relationships are, whatever your activities are, how are you going to submit to God so that you live your life in the Lord, in Jesus? And so I would like to, as I close in prayer, I'd like to invite you to stand. We're going to stand anyway for the closing song, but let's stand for the prayer. And the reason for standing is to say, all right, God, this is the area that you are challenging me in. And so in just a moment, I'm going to have just 10 seconds of quiet, okay? That's the time to think How is God challenging you to a greater submission of God in your life? Let's pray. Mighty and strong God, we thank you that you first loved us. We thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, O God, that you would help me to be a loving husband and father. And I pray, O God, by your Spirit, that you would speak into the lives of each person here today, that they would be challenged by your word. And, O God, please give us all the strength to live this week in the Lord. And it is in Jesus' name we pray.